Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Okay, I need everyone to be listening. Now it's time to listen. Okay, so no more talking. No more talking. It's listening time. Okay, can anyone tell me what holiday is tomorrow? Easter. It's Easter. Can anyone tell me what Easter is about? It's about Jesus dying and his resurrection, right? Now, how did Jesus die? That's right. Someone wanted to kill him, and he was crucified. Why did he let that happen? He died for our sins. That's right. Okay. So today I'm going to tell you a little story. Emma, can you come up and help me for a minute? I need you to hold the microphone. Can you hold it by my mouth? Okay. What is this a picture of?
Jesus.
Now when Jesus, that's right, it's Jesus. And when Jesus died for our sins, he was crucified on a cross. And after he was crucified, they wrapped him in a linen cloth. So we're going to put him inside this linen cloth. After they wrapped him in a linen cloth, they placed him in a tomb, and that was like a cave or a place where they buried people back then. And they put him in the tomb, and then they rolled a stone in front of the tomb because they needed to make sure that it was covered. Then they had a seal put on the tomb because everyone was worried that someone would come and steal Jesus' body. So they put a seal on it, and then they placed guards in front of the tomb so that nobody could steal Jesus' body. So they placed the guards in front, and they had lots of guards that took turns throughout the time that Jesus was in the tomb. Now, Jesus was placed in the tomb on Friday, and he rested there on the Sabbath day. And then very, very early Sunday morning, something happened. There was an earthquake and a bright shining light, and an angel appeared. And when that earthquake and the angel appeared, the guards fell down like dead men. And they fell down like dead men. And when they fell down, the seal was broken. And the stone was rolled away. The tomb was open. The linen cloth was open. And Jesus was gone. He was not there anymore. Why was he not there? Because he raised from the dead, and he was getting ready to go back to heaven. Let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this Easter story, that we can remember that you died on the cross for us, but that in 3 days you was raised from the dead, and that you did this all for us. We ask you to be with us and help us to remember the real meaning of Easter. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now our opportunity to approach the throne of grace. If you have a special request, you can write it on the blue card and bring it down to the front here. my cares. Dear Father, this morning we want to humbly kneel here before your throne, throne of grace. And this weekend in a special way, we and much of the world is remembering what took place 2,000 years ago, how you died on Calvary's cross. For our sins, we ask that you would forgive us for the ways in which we have hurt you this past week. Pray that your blessing would be on us this morning as we are here to worship you and to bring glory and praise to you through song, through words, through the study of your word, through remembering the communion service. So we just pray that the angels will be here, the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would bless Pastor with words from heaven. I hold these cards in my hand, special needs that people are presenting to you, and I know that each and every one kneeling here before you have our silent requests, things that we want to, burdens, cares that we want to give to you. So we just pray now for a special blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our offering this morning is for NAD evangelism. There's a short little story here that will bring this message home to us today. In 2002, a pastor and his wife had the privilege of conducting evangelistic meetings in Yugoslavia. During that time, they were assigned to have lunch at the home of one of the church families. On April 16, they found themselves in the home of Lazar and Jasmina, Lazarus and Jasmine in English. Seated at the table, they heard one of the most wonderful stories of God's providence. Lazar and Jasmina had been avid and loyal communists during the Tito regime. However, they began to notice that some of the party officials had nicer homes and cars, and soon disillusionment set in. One day, Jasmina accepted an invitation of an Adventist friend to visit our church there. She liked what she heard very much, but Lazar was not convinced. Sometime later, evangelistic meetings were in progress, and Jasmina tried to get Lazar to attend. After days of urging, he finally consented but was not interested in the presentation and the darkened auditorium. He decided to take a little nap. So he did. However, the message that evening was on the state of the dead. And during the story of the raising of Lazarus, the pastor called out, "Lazar, wake up!" Lazar shot up in his seat, turned to his wife, and said, "How does that man know my name?" Well, you guessed it. A few weeks later, Lazar was baptized into the Novi Sad Church. Evangelism still works. Okay. I'll praise the Lord for the stories of how God works on hearts. We'll have the ushers come forward now to receive your offering today.
Thank you. gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this high Sabbath and for the opportunity to share and give our offerings this morning. And we ask that you would please take that offering and for its intended use, and that you would bless those that receive and bless the giver as well. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the path, the way of the Lord. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Thank you.
And Jesus came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And they brought little children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And he came out and went, and he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And the men that held Jesus mocked him, and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face, and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Consider When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
But now is Christ risen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Hallelujah! 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 Oh. On February 17, 1991, Mrs. Ruth Dillow received a visit from two solemn men in uniform. And, you know, she knew what was going to happen because she had seen the same scenario before in other circumstances. And they were sorry to inform her that her son, Private First Class Clayton Carpenter, had stepped on a landmine and had been killed. Now, of course, the news hit her like a brick. And as reality began to sink in, it was as if she had lost her own life with the life of her son. Now, on the third day after she got this grim news, after mourning in the depths of despair, she got a second phone call. And this time she was summoned to her boss's office. And there again, her boss said, "There's somebody on the phone for you." And she lifted up the receiver and she heard, "Hey, Mom, this is Clayton. I'm alive." Now, at first, she couldn't believe that it was her son. But as they began to talk, finally it began to sink in. And she started to shake. This really is my son. He's not dead, he's alive. And she said that it felt like she'd gotten her life back when she got her son back. Now, Clayton never died, but Christ died and he rose again. And for the disciple, what a difference that resurrection made. Despair gave way to joy and hope. Their entire perspective was transformed. Their lives were changed. You know, a teacher asked her son, or her class, asked her class what each of them wanted to be when they grew up. One of them said president, another one said fireman, another one said astronaut, and you know how it goes. And one by one they answered the question, and then the teacher came to six-year-old Mason. And the teacher asked, Mason, what do you want to be when you grow up? And Mason looked at her and he said, I want to be possible. The teacher thought he had misunderstood the question. Possible, she asked. You want to be possible? Yep, said Mason. I want to be possible. So the teacher asked, Mason, why do you want to be possible? What does that mean? And Mason replied, my mother is always telling me I'm impossible, so when I grow up, I want to be possible. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ totally dismantles any impossibility. Give me your most impossible situation and circumstance, and you know, none of them are as difficult to overcome as death. Difficulties, my friend, difficulties, despair, when you bring the resurrection of Christ into the picture. If Jesus can reverse death, he can reverse your situation, no matter what it's like. And you might say, well, I'm guilty of so much, and I'm so far from living the way I should. I just don't see how it's possible for me to be right with God. There are mountains of should-haves and shouldn't-haves that are standing in the way. Well, here's the good news. God has made a way, and it's not built on your effort. In fact, the Bible tells us that the cross and the resurrection of Jesus has freed you from the law. Now, that doesn't mean we don't obey the law, but rather it means you can't save yourself by the law. If you could, then Christ would have died for nothing. Now, if you have a sense that you need to get right with God, you're here this morning and you feel, I need to get right with God, but you're struggling under the mountains of desire and inclinations and even habits that are pressing you down, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, his resurrection from the dead means that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he makes the impossible possible. Think about that. No condemnation. Pastor, that's easy for you to say. For you don't know where I've been, you might say. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know where you've been. I don't need to know what you've done. It doesn't matter what it is. No one is so messed up that they have out-sinned the cross. Take the focus away from yourself and place it on the Savior. The more you make this about Him, the more you will see that the impossible becomes possible and you will flourish. But when we make this about us, it becomes a form of idolatry. And the more we practice that, the more we are robbed of joy. We are robbed of life, and we are robbed of energy, and we are robbed of vitality. In fact, let me repeat that. The more you make the world about you, the more miserable and exhausted and angry you're going to be. The more the world stops being about you, the more life and energy and joy there is to be had. When our resurrected Lord and Savior says, come to me, that's the most freeing thing in the world. You called into the only story worth telling, the story of salvation. You need to be in the story that outlasts any other story. And when you do that, when you make that choice, then you'll find that everything in your life will be about God's kingdom. It will be about God's glory and about what He is doing. And if we repent and believe, then we will be trophies of God's grace and mercy and power. This is what the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus was raised from the dead. He defeated death, and He purchased our souls, if you will. He adopted us as sons and daughters, and He's forgiving us completely and cleansing us from all wrongdoing. For all who believe in Him and by faith embrace His grace and repent of their sins, God has made a way. And to those who find life empty and without meaning or purpose, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." To those who are concerned about their eternal destiny, Jesus says, "Whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And in Jeremiah 29:13, God makes this wonderful promise. He says, "You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." This is good news indeed for those who hear the call. Years ago, there was a Mercedes-Benz television commercial, that showed their car colliding with a cement wall during a safety test. And in that commercial, they presented a brand new concept, an energy-absorbing car body. Now, we find those everywhere now, right? You see, because of its successful safety record, other car companies eventually copied the design of Mercedes. And so someone asked the company spokesman why they didn't enforce their patent. Why they didn't enforce their patent for this concept, keep it to themselves. And the spokesman for Mercedes-Benz gave a classic response. He said, "Because some things in life are too important not to share." How true that is. The gospel is too important not to share, my friend. May each one of you accept Christ and then share your story of salvation. Share the good news of God's grace and mercy and power. The good news of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I want to invite each and every one of you to participate in what we call the Ordinance of Humility. You get a few minutes on your feet, and we will have one song before that, I understand. Esther will come and sing a song to us, and contemplate that song as you prepare your heart for the Ordinance of Humility and for the communion service that follows. We pray that you will remain behind, even though our service lingers on today, as it usually does during communion service. Think about the message of this song and then contemplate how you can participate in the foot washing service, the Ordinance of Humility, and also in the communion service that follows, as Esther now sings about the cross of Christ.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace offers sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room.
Father, as each one of us contemplates the cross and the resurrection of Christ, we are awestruck by your love. Thank you, Father, that you called each one of us to be a son or a daughter of your kingdom. And now as we participate in the ordinance of humility, and as we come back here for the bread and the wine, we pray that you will bless every single one of us in this service. In Christ's name, amen. Again,
I want to invite you to open up your hymnal to number 158, and we'll sing
the two verses of the song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" It was a very special time for me when I went to Israel a few weeks ago, and we were able to celebrate communion in the garden. A garden tomb was right before our eyes. And it was a beautiful garden in Jerusalem. And it looked just like it must have looked at the time when Jesus was buried in a garden tomb. And I realized with the hustle and bustle around that garden and all the noises took place, we were able to focus on that empty tomb. And I pray that as we spend a little few minutes together here, that we'll be able to focus not just on the empty tomb, but on the living Savior. And God is love, is what the message is. At this time, I would like to ask one of our elders to read the first two verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 11, and then lead us in prayer.
1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Shall we kneel as far as possible? Father, we thank you so much for this emblem of your body, which you sacrificed in order to pay the penalty for our sins. We thank you that just as we partake of this bread and we destroy it as we eat it, and then it becomes part of every cell of our body, we know that you do the same thing. As we let you into our lives, you become part of everything we do. And we thank you for this emblem that reminds us of that. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this emblem. And we thank you and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Before we share this bread with you, I just want to let you know that in the middle of the tray, there's a little paper cup with gluten-free bread. If you have a intolerance to gluten. Is there anyone here that has a short testimony about what Christ has done for you? The microphones will come to you. There's one. Paula has one over to your right. Paula.
Last communion service, Diane McLaughlin told us that she was going to read her Bible through and how much of a blessing it had been. And this morning, I've been doing that since she talked about it, and this morning was reading in Deuteronomy, and this morning as we did the Ordinance of Humility, I was reminded that the kings, and this was in Deuteronomy, it says that the kings were to copy the book of Deuteronomy. They were to read it every day, and it would keep them on the same level as the people. They would not be proud or lifted up, and I'm so thankful that we have a service that we are reminded always that we are the same. We are in the same boat, and we all want to be in the same place someday. And that picture just really hit me, that kings were reminded in the Old Testament to be like everyone else, that the law would keep us from lifting our hearts up. And I just ask God to help me keep my heart not lifted up, because it's awful hard.
Amen. Thank you. Do we have one more? There is one here.
Well, all week I have been looking for my keys. And it's car key, house key, key to Esther's house, you know, a lot of important keys on that key ring. And I just looked everywhere I could think of. And Ron, I was sure he'd taken them. And, you know, you say judge not as, but I was sure he'd taken them. And I looked and looked and looked. Well, as it turned out, we were all praying and going through everything, trying to find them. And I suddenly thought that I had worn my knit sweater last Sabbath. And the car keys were in that sweater. And so I had to kind of apologize to Ron for judging him as the one who took my keys. But I'm so thankful God answers prayer on the little things like a set of keys.
Amen.
As well as big things.
And Ron, you were falsely accused. Now, Jesus was falsely accused. He bore it. But thank you for sharing. Jesus said, "This is my body. Eat this in remembrance of me." This time, Omari will lead us in prayer over the emblem of the juice. And he will read a couple of verses again from 1 Corinthians 11.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us kneel as far as possible. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this Sabbath morning, full of praise and thankful. We want to thank you for the gift of life. We want to thank you for the Sabbath day. And we want to thank you most especially for the example we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for family, and we thank you for everything you have done for us up until this point. Be with each and every person in here. Bless them, O Lord. Let this service, Father, glorify only you and only you. Be with us and fill us with the Spirit, Father, throughout the rest of the day. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else that has a testimony to share? There are a couple of testimonies on this side.
It always amazes me how much God is aware of me as a person. even though there's so many people here on this earth, and God is aware of me, and He knows my thoughts. He knows what's going on in my life. And this last week, several things had happened, and I was feeling very discouraged and very hopeless. You know, I thought, oh, why am I even trying? This is never going to work out. It's going to be terrible. And I was sitting there thinking these things, and I was kind of praying and saying, Lord, please help us. Help us with these issues. Help us with what's going on. And just then, my little son went to the bookshelf, and he loves to look at Mama's books. And he pulled out Prophets and Kings, and he brought it over to me, and he started flipping through the pages. And as he was flipping through the pages, he came to a picture, and he said, Mama, what's happening in this picture? And it was a picture of Joash as he was shooting the three arrows out the window with the prophet of Elisha. And then he points over to a particular paragraph on that page, and he says, Mama, what do these words say? And he was so very, it was like he knew where he was going. You know, I know it was the Holy Spirit. Because that particular paragraph said, it was talking about Elisha and how he had never stopped trusting in God. And it says, even when things seemed impossible, like there was no way things would work out, Elisha still trusted God, and he was faithful to the last. And I knew right then that that was a message from God for me, Amen. That even though it seemed impossible, that God could take care of it, and I just needed to be faithful and trust Him. And so I went into my room and I prayed, and I asked God to forgive me for being distrustful of Him, because I know He's good. But I wanted to share that God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. He knows exactly what's going on in your mind. And He can use a little child who can't even read to bring you exactly the words you need to hear at Amen. That particular moment.
Amen. Thank you. And Conway.
I just want to say I'm so thankful. I want to praise the Lord for this church and our church family. The last year and a half has been somewhat special for me. And then, I have not been employed full-time, but I do have a job now. Started a job in Wellington about a week and a half ago. I want to praise the Lord for that. The year 27 was special, did not work full time, but our family was able to go to Europe, and for It Is Written, and three souls were baptized from that. That's that awesome thing that the Lord did. And we also were able to go to the West Coast, to Oregon, to do a Maranatha project. So, and it's a fact that wherever Maranatha goes, the congregation doubles. So I just want to say praise the Lord. I don't know how we went to Europe and to the West Coast without having a full-time job, but it happened. So God is so good. Life is good.
And so Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. And he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And that's our longing, that Jesus will come soon, and we do believe it, don't we? And until then, let us remember that for us to take in this cup and this bread symbolizes receiving Christ's salvation. His death on the cross on our behalf, and his life that he has for us every day by his Holy Spirit. And may he bring heavenly nutrition to each of you and to us, that we may truly live vibrant lives for our Lord and our Savior. It's all about him. Look to him. So let's now stand and sing our closing hymn together, which you will find in your bulletin. I think number 171 is it, or am I wrong? 154. Number 154.